Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Reel to Reel, Garrick Brown and Clatter Records. James Morrissey joining me in a moment. But first, A Drunken Sailor. Indeed. Now, that'll be Tommy Potts and Seven Yellow Gypsies is coming up in a minute, but that was A Drunken Sailor. There's a fair few of them, I suspect, down in Wexford as we speak this morning. James Morrissey, good morning, dear heart.
Good morning, Marty.
It is lovely to see you.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
I haven't seen you for an age, and you and I would be at the gate or whatever we'd be at, but I know you from all different facets of our business over the years, and yet... can I just say before we even start this, you're always the same temperament, you're always in kind of good mood and like myself, up for a bit of devilment.
Well, friendship is very important.
Yes.
You know, you don't go through life without hitting the odd bump along the road, but you come back and you get on with things.
Yes.
And you know, we all change careers, change direction, do things. But it's all about the next project. All about the journey.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is, and it's about remaining and holding on to that curiosity, that interest.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
But that's the journalist in you. You're never going to lose that, no matter what else you do.
Yes.
You'll never lose that. The first thing I have to say to you is, well, welcome firstly. But this enormous book that has come our way, which is called Reel to Reel, with R-E-A-L to R-E-E-L, Garrick Brown and Clodagh Records, which you've written. It's not just a coffee table book, it's a coffee table. Because with four legs on this, you've got yourself a table. It's a huge tome. It's beautifully put together to celebrate this great man,
well,
your friend.
You. Yes, a friend for many years. I grew up in Kilchima in the county of Mayo. Garrick grew up in Castle McGarrett near Claremorris. Yeah. I wouldn't have known him growing up, but I would have recalled going back there to Castle McGarrett with my late father, buying apples around this time of year. Because that's when you bought apples, you didn't get them in the shop that regularly.
Yes.
And then years later, when I was working with Spotlight magazine, I came across Garrett, and he was always berating me for the fact that traditional Irish music and our culture featured not very prominently in Spotlight, that we were obsessed with show bands, groups, and whoever was number one on the charts.
Which you were, in fairness.
Which we were, absolutely. Oh, no, he was absolutely right.
Yes.
But again, it was at a time when, and he set up the record label because he felt that this was a dying tradition, that traditional Irish music and the spoken word were heading south as pop music came in across the Atlantic or across the Irish Sea from the BBC or from further away, Radio Luxembourg. And he really was concerned that this could be lost. And that's why he set up the label.
And what was it, do you think, that in him particularly made him so keen on this? Like, where was he getting this from, do you think?
Well, he recalled that there were several workmen on the estate in Cladda, in Claremorris, in Castle McGarrett, who whistled and sang Irish tunes. And he said he followed them like a Pied Piper.
Isn't that funny?
And another person who had a huge influence on him, again because of his broadcasting, was the late Ciarán MacMahóna, an enormous influence on his life. I think that Garrett felt, after his parents separated and his mother was Lady Una Guinness, and Garrett and his younger brother Tara, who later died, headed for Loughalore. And I think that Garrett was, to a great extent, a lost soul. He was sent off to boarding school in Switzerland. He didn't like it, and he wrote a letter to himself in his mother's name saying,
"Brilliant,
come home immediately. Something has happened at home."
So that got him out. That's incredible. Yeah,
that got him out of school.
Yeah, he was a character.
He was a character, and he was very creative. He said that Lucien Freud taught him how to see. He brought him to an art gallery in Paris, and he said, "What do you see?" And Garrett said, "I see a painting with a lady in it and a bottle of wine in the background. But now, what do you see? To explain." And he drilled it into Garrett to look at the painting and to try and identify as many things as possible, but also to give his unique take on it, because our own eyes see things differently to everybody else. So he said Lucien Freud taught him how to see, and he would have said that people like Ciarán MacMahóna and others would have taught him how to hear.
Right. The book comes with a piece of work called the Cladda Collection, which is Masters of Their Craft, and it's like spoken word from Seamus Healy, Willie Cansley, Patrick Kavanagh, and Dolores, who we chatted with this morning.
What
Dolores
a wonderful
Kingson.
Interview.
She's
and again,
gorgeous.
I was listening to it on my way here, and it really struck me. This is what this country has in abundance. It has people who are wonderfully engaging, entertaining, who talk about themselves in a very honest way, who talk about themselves in a self-deprecating way, and then the art of music. And it was wonderful. It really brought me back. And Garrett, I think, went to a wedding in the Keane's house, and he rushed to get there. He got there in 6 hours. I think it took him about 6 days to get back to Dublin.
There's a great picture of her in the book as well. She's looking gorgeous. Speaking of Dolores, she's on the album Seven Yellow Gypsies.
There were seven yellow gypsies all in a gang. There was none of them lame or lazy or sure. Among them all, she is going with a dark-eyed gypsy, oh. Oh, will you come with me, my pretty fair maid? Will you come with me, me honey, oh? Sure, I wouldn't give a kiss of a gypsy laddie's lips, not for all our cash's money, oh. Oh, saddle for me, my pretty white steed, saddle him up so bonny, oh. So that I may go and find me young wedded wife, now she's going with a dark gypsy, oh. Oh, she rode west, but he rode best until he came to should he find but his own wedded wife? She is gone with a dark eyed gypsy, oh. Oh, will you come with me, my pretty fair maid? Will you come with me, me honey, oh? Sure, I wouldn't give a kiss of a gypsy lady's lips, not for all her cash, his money, oh. Do with your house and your land, what will you do with your money, oh? Oh, what will you do with your two fine babes? Now you're going with a dark white gypsy, oh. Oh, what will you do with your fine feather bed with the sheets turned down so bony, oh? Oh, what will you do with your own wedded lord? Now you're going with a dark white gypsy, oh. Oh, what do I care for me house and me land? What do I care? Oh, last night I lay on a fine feather bed with the sheets turned down so bony, oh. But tonight I lay on a cold barren floor with seven yellow gypsies to annoy me, oh.
That's Seven Yellow Gypsies. By the way, that's Dolores Keane from the album, which is Masters of the Craft. That is that available to buy, just the album on its
no,
own?
No, it's part of the package.
Ah.
It comes with it.
It comes with it.
We decided to include a series of tracks by well-known artists as a kind of a teaser for people who wouldn't be that au fait with Claderette.
Sure, but you can buy the CD as well.
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not
you
yet.
Will be able to.
You will.
Please God. He was some dresser.
He was.
I mean, you might say slightly eccentric, but in fact, terribly stylish.
Oh, very stylish.
Very.
And he always dressed for the occasion.
Did he?
And he did, and he bought a lot of his tweeds in Ronnie Miller's, in Miller's of Clifton. And he'd go down there and buy the tweed, and then he'd bring the tweed to London, and he would get whoever in London. And there's a great story in the book about Dolly McMahon accompanying Garrett and Ciarán McMahon, her husband, to Liam O'Flynn's wedding. And Garrett, of course, is well turned out, but halfway during the wedding breakfast, as they were called it then, Garrett lost a button. And he went from a very jolly, happy person to becoming absolutely obsessed that he'd lost his button.
Right.
So he had to be consoled by a great number of people. But anyway, the party continued. And the next morning he said to Dolly, I'm thinking of going to London. Would you join me? And he went to London and he had taken off one of the buttons to bring it over to the haberdashery in London. And he knew exactly where to go, down a side street, up the sixth floor. And he got the button. And within 48 hours, he had the button back. So
yeah,
he was quite an obsessive. He was a perfectionist, and I think that's reflected in a lot of the album covers. He had Louis Labrocki, Eddie Delaney, a lot of well-known Irish artists. So for Garrett, the Clada project was not just about recording music. It was about excellence in sleeve notes, excellence in design.
But
excellence.
He would delay. I was reading the book last evening. He would delay releases until he was totally satisfied that everything was as it should be.
For months.
That's incredible.
And there's the Sidney Graham, the Scottish poet. He recorded with them over 5 or 6 months, and for a variety of reasons, they couldn't agree on the cover. And that album has never, ever been released. So we intend to do something about that. And Sidney Graham was a famous Scottish poet. So there were 50 boxes of tapes.
Down in Lugala.
Yes, and then transferred to the Bank of Ireland for safekeeping.
That's right.
So that's really what we're working on now.
But the book is astonishing. Like, you've Sean Connery, these parties, like Jenny Mac, Derek Bell, the great chieftain, is in there in many ways. I'm looking at a picture now of Liam O'Flynn playing at the lament at the funeral of Seamus Ennis.
Yes.
These are amazing archive photographs anyway, irrespective of Clara.
And that's what made the book, to be brutally honest, that's what made the book an easy project.
Yeah.
Because Garrett had kept all the photographs.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, he had a collection of 20,000 books. He was a keeper and a collector. So really, when I started discussing this project with him in and around 2015, once he showed me the boxes that were there as a kind of a teaser and said there's a warehouse full of these boxes.
Yeah.
It was like in Aladdin's cave. It was a treasure trove. And it really was something that shouldn't be lost.
I remember years ago, Claddagh Records, the shop.
Yes.
In town. And what we need to be aware of, it seems to me, at the moment, is the fact that this collection couldn't happen without somebody like Universal Music being behind it, because this level of presentation and the money involved and all the rest of it can only happen if you've got a big company behind you. Mm-hmm. People like Mark Crossingham, who runs Universal Music Ireland, and Nick Younger, and all these guys.
That is so right. That is absolutely right.
They've got to care.
They've got to care. They've got to be interested. And when we started the journey after Garrett died, and the trustees asked me, was I interested in reviving Claddagh Records? I said I was, but I didn't want to get involved unless I could deliver a major record label to partner, because we didn't have the funds. What we did have, we had the raw material, we had all the archives, but we needed a global partner. And it so happened that one day I was in a hotel in Ballsbridge, and I happened to meet Louis Walsh, and mentioned, we were in school together, and I mentioned that I was doing this. He said, talk to Mark Crossingham. Universal are the people to talk to.
Right.
So that started this journey and this voyage, and really what they have done is enormous, and their interest and their commitment has been so supportive. And it really, Garrett always said, there's no point in the tapes being lodged in the vaults in the Bank of Ireland. I know they're safe there, but safe is not good enough. They have to be available and accessible.
That's to be out there. And some of those albums have gone with the passing of time, and we need to get them revived again. There is his brother,
Tara,
who died so tragically, and it's written about in the book. And of course, there's been books written about it, about his passing, and it's
Paul Howard's wonderful book.
Paul Howard, who was in here talking about that wonderful book.
Wonderful book.
It wasn't it? And again, we remember the Beatles, and it's mentioned and covered here in the book as well.
Tara died in a car crash in the mid-1960s. And he had gone the more conventional route for his upbringing. He went to London and to Carnaby Street, and he liked all of that, whereas Garrett stayed at home. And it was an incredible, an awful tragedy. And the Beatles song, I Heard the News Today, Oh Boy.
That's right.
In latter years, I think, and there was one very poignant evening in Loughalaw, I was just there with Garrett, and he was talking about Tara.
His brother, yes.
Yeah, and long silences. I think he never, ever, he never recovered from it.
Yeah.
It was, the family led a very peripatetic life. They lived in lots of different places, went lots of places. I suppose a wonderful example, or a chastening example, of how having everything doesn't mean that you have everything.
That's true. That's so true. I want to talk about the spoken word for a minute, because Seamus Heaney is on here. Patrick Kavanagh, Austin Clark. Of course, the Patrick Kavanagh album, you presented that to the president, didn't you?
Yes.
You did.
Yes.
That was, we had that as an album of the week. It was terrific. Yeah. You had Bono and everybody else on that one involved. But Seamus Heaney, can we have just a little listen to Seamus Heaney?
Love
from,
to.
From, yeah, this is Digging from Seamus Heaney, who was recorded for Claddagh Records.
Death of a Naturalist.
Digging. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests, snug as a gun. Under my window, a clean rasping sound when the spade sinks into gravelly ground. My father digging. I look down till his straining rump among the flower beds bends low, comes up 20 years away, stooping in rhythm through potato drills where he was digging. The coarse boot nestled on the lug. The shaft against the inside knee was levered firmly. He rooted out tall tops, buried the bright edge deep to scatter new potatoes that we picked, loving their cool hardness in our hands. By God, the old man could handle a spade, just like his old man. My grandfather cut more turf in a day than any other man on Toner's Bog. Once I carried him milk in a bottle, corked sloppily with paper. He straightened up to drink it, then fell to right away, nicking and slicing neatly, heaving sods over his shoulder, going down and down for the good turf. Digging. The cold smell of potato mould, the squelch and slap of soggy peat, the curt cuts of an edge through living roots awaken in my head. But I've no spade to fellow men like them. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it.
Wonderful. Seamus Heaney and Digging, which is from Masters of Their Craft, which is the album that's available with the book Reel to Reel, which is the story of Garrick Brann and Clatter Records. Back in a sec.
Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Chat to us today about your later life lending options.
Right now in Ireland, one in six adults struggle with reading and understanding information and can feel locked out of life in areas like careers, education and daily tasks. At Unpost, we're proud to support NALA, the National Adult Literacy Agency's work to improve adults' reading and writing skills to unlock opportunity for everyone. If you need some help, call NALA on 1800 2020 80.
Marty in the Morning, weekdays on RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.
I have to play the Chieftains to finish up. And of course, there's great stuff about the Chieftains in China in the book as well. James Morrissey with me, the man responsible for this book on Clatter Records and Garrick Brann. I loved the piece. It says that far from the mundanity of the daily grind of most people's lives, he thrived on a combination of chaos, conflict and creativity. So he embraced chaos.
Oh, he did. And he thrived on chaos, which could be very, very frustrating.
For everyone else, yes.
For anyone. And even in the early days working on this book, he would say, we should take a break before we even start at all. I'd like to discuss a couple of other things with you. So he really pushed the boundaries, but he always had wonderful, wonderful
stories.
Was it
just that he had so many things going on in his head?
So many things, and he also, Lugalaw was a magnificent house, and he used as much as possible Irish materials, Irish artists. Yeah, no, he was an Irish man to the core, although I think that in the early days of Clatter, people were not that sure about this gentleman with an English accent, yes, ponytail, wearing tweeds and a kris and iron pullovers. He was quite eccentric, but he was incredibly shy, and I would say he was very insecure.
Would you? And yet, look what he produced and what he's left us.
Yeah.
Congratulations. It's called REAL, Reel to Reel, Garrick Brann and Clatter Records. We have one for not everybody in the audience. We've one for Friday because we're doing CD at the moment. Anyway, listen, James, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
For sharing this. Mm-hmm. Is it okay with you if we leave with the Chieftains?
Oh, love it.
I think round the house and mind the dresser, which is the only way. But this is an absolutely beautiful collection, and we'll be sticking it all up on the webpage as well this morning. James, it's good to see you.
Thank you very much.
God bless you this morning. Take care. God bless.